The latest episode in the Niowave pole barn dispute took place just last night. The Lansing City Council held a public hearing regarding the company's recent application for a tax break on its property on North Walnut Street. The company's relationship with its neighbors has been frosty ever since discussions broke down some months ago over improvements the neighborhood wants made to a massive pole barn that went up last summer. Lansing City Councilman Brian Jeffries is chairman of the council's Planning and Development Committee. We welcome Brian Jeffries back to Current State. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you for having me back.
Sure. And Walnut neighborhood activist Dale Schrader joins Current State to update the situation as well. Dale,
thank
welcome.
You. Yeah. Thank you.
And again, we asked Niowave representatives to join the conversation. Again, they declined. Brian Jeffries, this was a public hearing about a tax break for Niowave. What is the company asking for exactly?
Well, they've done an expansion on their property, and which is kind of the root cause of all of this. But within the expansion, they want to place $5 million worth of new equipment. And based on that expenditure, they're asking the city for a personal property exemption, which would run for a period of 6 years and probably net a savings to them of around $550,000.
Okay. And how does this add to any existing tax breaks?
Well, when they first came to the site back in, I believe it was 2006, they purchased an old school from the Lansing School District and renovated that. There were several tax abatements that supported the renovation of the building, as well as bringing in equipment into that building to operate it as a laboratory. They got both an OPRA certificate as well as a personal property exemption. I think that was close in total to around $1 million in abatements.
So as far as the Walnut neighborhood is concerned, this dispute over the pole barn was at an impasse. In fact, the last we heard, communications had ceased between the neighborhood reps and the company. Where does that put this request? How did this play out last night, request for the other tax break?
Well, a surprise happened. You're absolutely right in your characterization. We went through a process where we had asked the neighborhood to actually sit down with Niowave and kind of work out the differences. And again, it surrounds the whole pole barn that was built there. And basically, there was an impasse that was reached, I believe, back in December, where the neighborhood said, look, we want a facade replacement. Niowave was at a position where they said, we'll throw $100,000 in terms of landscaping and call it good.
Okay.
And so, you know, we had asked them to do that. That was their decision. Basically, the impasse hit, and we started to move forward on the personal property exemption request based on that information. Last night, we received a joint memo from Terry Krim, who's the CEO for Niowave, and Mary Lynn Keener, who's part of the neighborhood, who've basically resumed discussions yesterday and are talking about not only the $100,000 for the landscape, but Niowave's willingness to mutually explore some sort of facade alternatives. You know, the timing on this is the 11th hour. It's always good that negotiations and talks continue. I'm just not sure what this is going to do in terms of the impact on their request.
How is it the 11th hour, though? Is the council obligated to vote on the new tax break package soon?
Well, yeah, we have this scheduled for a vote in 2 weeks.
Okay.
The request itself is based on a timetable that began January 1 of this year and runs for a 3-year period of time. So as long as that gets put out, it's less of an abatement for Niowave. So I think everybody wants to wrap that piece up as soon as possible, just unclear as to where these discussions are going.
Well, judging by the atmosphere after last night's public hearing, can an accommodation be reached in a couple of weeks?
I think there was a lot of surprise. I don't think a lot of people knew that this discussion piece was ongoing, particularly within the neighborhood. I think what I saw last night was some people going different ways now. I think the parties were pretty clear where they were in terms of the neighborhood was here. Niowave was here. Now we have at least one member of the neighborhood starting up the discussions. And again, I applaud the effort. It's just the timing. It's in question.
How many speakers had anything to say, and generally, what did they have to say?
We had speakers that represented the entire city and various neighborhood organizations around the city. I would say that there was probably around 20, and pretty much all of them would like to see something worked out, but if it couldn't, that they were opposed to the abatement. And they also wanted to make sure that as we move forward, something like this doesn't happen in their neighborhood, and to make sure that we deal with that, which we are, as a separate piece to this.
This does have an impact for the rest of the city, correct?
It absolutely yeah. does.
Okay. Dale Schrader, you're the Da Vinci of the Nile Wave mini pole barn here.
Yes.
For people who haven't seen it, describe it, please.
Well, it's a 8x10 enclosed white trailer that we modified to put a peak roof on it with a corrugated white roof and painted the blue stripe around the bottom. It eerily looks a lot like the pole barn, a little mini pole barn, and that's what we call it. The idea behind that was when we did reach an impasse, Niowave said landscaping is fine. And we said, no, you have to do something with that building. You have to fix the building. And the idea was to give them a taste, a slight taste of what it would be like to see this parked in front of their homes, in their neighborhoods. And therefore, it was built.
Now, given the optimism, cautious optimism, I guess, that came out of last night's meeting, are you inclined to give the mini pole barn a break for a while, or are you still going to use it?
I think we're going to give it a break for now. Cautiously optimistic. We've had 9 months of silence and arguments with Niowave, and then yesterday we had this little breakthrough. And if I was someone that wanted $500,000, I would make a couple phone calls and reach out and try to do something. We'll give it a break, and we'll see what happens. There's going to be some discussions in the next few days. Something would have to happen very quickly, though. And I'm not sure we can do it that quickly. The vote's in 2 weeks.
Can we say who is talking to whom here exactly?
Mary Lane Keener is a resident neighbor. She is speaking with Niowave. I'm going to speak with Niowave tomorrow.
And when you say Niowave, is this Terry Grimm?
Mr. Jerry Hollister. He's the CEO of Niowave. Yeah. I'll be speaking with him. He approached me after the meeting, and that's a first. That's actually a first.
Okay.
That someone has reached out, but it's the vote is in 2 weeks. So I think between the pole barn and the tax abatement and things like that, we've got their attention now.
Was there direct contact last night then between Walnut neighborhood representatives and Niowave people that hasn't taken place in a while? I gather there was.
I think there was, at least between Mary Elaine and Niowave, and then during and after the meeting, there were a number of discussions that were ongoing. But Dale's absolutely right. I mean, we have a very short period of time to deal with this, and I think, you know, as we move forward, if there is any, whatever the agreement is going to be, I mean, it's really going to have to be buttoned down tight in terms of offering the incentive, and then what is Niowave going to do for that incentive in terms of whether it's the landscaping, facade improvements, or whatever. Typically, what we'd like to see is kind of those issues going together, but you're not going to see any facade improvement in 2 weeks. And so that's something I think council's going to have to do in terms of conditioning the incentive, and maybe putting a clawback provision in the incentive that, you know, if you don't do this, then we can take the incentive back and you have to refund any of the abatement that you have received. So those are things that we can look at in terms of trying to tie it up and to assure things are going to get done.
We learned just before we went to air here that from Mary Elaine Keener, as a matter of fact, that she is expressing cautious optimism as a result of contact with Niowave's Terry Grimm, and she's especially encouraged about some kind of mural that apparently is being discussed. Do either of you know anything about that?
There was some statement last night during the meeting that months ago, a mural was offered to be placed on the side of the building. I think that was a first that a lot of people heard about that.
Mm-hmm.
And again, my understanding of what I've heard from both the neighborhood as well as the company.
That was the first we'd ever heard of any proposal for a mural or anything to do with the facade. And they actually brought it up at the meeting and said they had proposed a mural, which it's false, basically. It is not. That was not true.
Okay.
We had never heard about a mural. Now they're saying mural, and again, we'll look at it and see what it is, and a mural. The building's 14,000 square feet. We'll have to look and see what it is and how it looks. And yeah.
So now, I'm under the impression Nile Wave offered $100,000 worth of landscaping improvements in December. Do I have the timeline on that?
Yeah.
Is there any better consensus on what the cost would be to the company for adequate revisions to the landscape? I mean, is there a number in circulation there?
To the landscape, I don't know, but I did do some research on the facade, and to do it properly with, say, faux bricks or something, and do something about the roof, it looked like it was in the neighborhood of $250,000 is what I came up with, just from some rough estimates with contractors.
And with the landscaping, Nile Wave had hired a professional landscaper to come in and put a plan together. It was my understanding that the plan ran from a low of $150,000 to a high of around $250,000 or $300,000. And we're still only talking about $100,000 here. So in terms of what the $100,000 buys and what that means, you know, we certainly haven't seen the plan, and that's something that we're going to ask for as the issue moves forward.
We're talking with Brian Jeffries of the Lansing City Council and Dale Schrader, who's a Walnut neighborhood activist, about the latest Nile Wave's pole barn situation. Brian, the last time you joined us here on Current State, you suggested city administrators may have dropped the ball in the process of approving the pole barn. Do we know anything more about that?
No, we're still looking into that, and you know, how that may end up. I mean, we can't take, you know, put the genie back in the bottle in the sense of we're going to tear the pole barn down or anything like that. It is what it is at this point. What we have to do is make sure that it doesn't happen again, and we've reviewed the process upon which this came about, and we've put together an ordinance that we're going through the approval process right now, that in the future any of these projects would have to come back to City Council for reapproval. So we're not going to just have an administrative review. There will be a council review that has a full public hearing process. It involves the neighborhood, and it actually will involve action to have to be taken by council to approve any amendment to any special land use that we permit, so we don't run into this again. You know, as I think I said in your last show about this, that the city is the backstop on it. We're the ones that are responsible to make sure that there's responsible and reasonable development that goes on in these neighborhoods, and this simply didn't fit, doesn't fit, and fell through the cracks.
This is very interesting, though, in light of the challenges that East Lansing went through last year, and people lost their jobs, and there was some serious rearrangement of the city administration in East Lansing. So,
I hear you.
Does it rise to that level or not?
Well, if
you live there, it does.
Yeah, that's an issue for the city administration. Council has no control over any of those employees. I think what we're doing is what we can in terms of making sure that we have a process in place that backstops the backstop, in the sense that it will come back to council and will not simply be an administrative review and decision.
Okay. Dale Schrader, Brian Jeffries, we want to stay in touch. Many thanks for joining us today on the Nile Wave Pole Barn.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.